This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Monday morning to you. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there, making sure that people are having or can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my early morning, late night, if I can say it right, local 613 IBEW workers out there. Shout out to all my local funeral home workers and, of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, it was a huge, huge weekend, a busy weekend in Atlanta sports, and we're going to get to it all here this morning. We're going to start with the game that happened most recently and the game that unfortunately did not have the best result. And that's the Atlanta Hawks. They lose to the Detroit Pistons in a game the Hawks really needed. They unfortunately give up a late 9-3 run towards the end of the game, and that turned out to be the difference. Hawks lose to the Pistons last night, 148-143. It was a shootout last night. Defense, you could say, was optional last night at State Farm Arena. But Pistons win the shootout. Cade Cunningham, Trae Young both scored 38, but Cade Cunningham's 38 leads the Pistons to a win. He also had 12 assists. Trae and Cade nearly had identical stat lines. Cade, 38 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds. Trae Young, 38 points, 13 assists. Didn't have as many rebounds as Cade, but still, points and assists, they were right there, neck and neck. The Pistons extended their winning streak to a season high. How about the Pistons getting hot? 6-game winning streak now for the Pistons after that win over the Hawks last night. Malik Beasley poured in a big game for the Pistons, 6 of 10 from 3. The Pistons shot a season best 59, almost 60% from the field. And that obviously got them a season high in points with 148. And they were 20 for 40 from three-point range. Shot 50% from three, 59% from the field. Again, 20 of 40 from three-point range. Tim Hardaway Jr., former Hawk, scored 18 points. And Dennis Schroeder, former Hawk, added 16 points off the bench. So they got good bench play from Tim Hardaway and Dennis Schroeder off the bench. Hawks got some good bench play as well. George Niang scored 27 points, tied a career high, 7 three-pointers. So they got a little bang off the bench as well. But again, for the Hawks, it's been two games in a row now where they just haven't been able to finish. They've been in position to win, and they've had an opportunity to get big wins over both teams that they've needed to get big wins against. When you talk about the Magic and the Pistons, they ended up having a 19-point lead against the Magic, but just couldn't keep it, took their foot off the gas a little too early. And then against the Magic, they gave up a 11-5 run to close out the game Thursday. That was the difference in that game. And then last night, as I told you a couple minutes ago, they gave up a 9-3 run to close that game against Detroit last night. And that ended up being the difference in the game. That's a 6-point difference. You lost by 5. So just an inability to finish games from the Hawks the last two games have now set up the Hawks in a not very good position. Instead of being maybe up in 7th place and being dead on the heels of the Detroit Pistons, you are now 5 games back of the Pistons and the Pistons on the tiebreaker. So you're going to have to finish with a better record than the Pistons now if you want to have any shot in getting to that 6th seed. You can't just tie with the Pistons. You got to have a better record than them because now they own the tiebreaker. So it's going to be a tough task for the Hawks down the stretch if they want to try and get to that 6th seed. At this point, it's seeming like the best they might be able to do is the 7th seed because, again, Pistons are playing really well at the time they need to be playing really well. 6-game winning streak, including the win last night against the Hawks. So it might be a tough task here for the Hawks to catch up to the Pistons, but they're still very much in reach of getting to the 7th seed, and I'll give you the updated standings here in just a second. Pistons now 31-26. They are, as I told you, 5 games ahead of the Hawks and on the tiebreaker. Hawks now 26-31. They're a game back of Miami, who they will be taking on tonight. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You already know the flagship station of your Atlanta Hawks. Pre-game going to start at 7 o'clock. Tip set for 7:30 or shortly after 7:30 with Steve Holman on the call per usual. So they're a game behind Miami and they're 2 games behind the Orlando Magic. So still very much alive when it comes to getting into the 7th seed. And look, they can still definitely get into the 6th seed, but it's going to be tough. You only got 25 games left. You're 5 games behind Detroit. They're playing well right now and you have been going the opposite way. And so hopefully they can get 2 big wins against Miami, jump them in the standings because they play Miami tonight, as I just told you, and they play Miami again Wednesday night in Miami. Tonight's game is going to be in Atlanta to close out the Hawks' 3-game homestand, and then they'll be in Miami on Wednesday. So hopefully they can get 2 big wins against Miami, jump up in the A spot, give themselves a little bit, just a little bit of separation between them and the Heat, and hopefully they can catch up to Orlando. I do think they play Orlando again. I'm going to look at the rest of the Hawks' schedule. Then they'll be right back at home, the Hawks will, Friday. That'll be a big game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the 46-10 Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm going to check real quick to see if they play the Magic again. And as far as I'm seeing, they play the Magic 2 more times. Thank you, Day-Day. They play the Magic 2 more times, both towards the end of the season, as Day-Day was telling me. Once on April 8th, and then one more last game of the season on April 13th. So you got two more shots at the Magic, so that's good. If you can at least maintain and stay right there with the Magic, hopefully you can pass them beforehand, but you do know you at least still got two games in the pocket against the Orlando Magic. So the Hawks, again, still solid chance to get to that 7 seed and at least only have to win one play-in game to get into the postseason. But, again, would be nice if you could find a way to get into that 6 seed. But as of right now, that is not looking too good for the Hawks. And just in case you're wondering, when it comes to the Miami Heat, it looks like the Hawks play the Miami Heat just one more time on March 27th, and then that'll wrap up their season series with the Heat. So you got three more games against the Heat. You got two more games against the Magic, and you don't have any more games left against the Pistons. That last game last night was it for your season series between the Hawks and the Pistons. So, again, looking out of reach for the 6 seed. Just going to be completely honest, going to keep it 100 with y'all. Doesn't look like the Hawks will be able to catch the Pistons, but they are still very much alive to catch the Heat, obviously, and the Magic for the 7 seed. So, again, looks like this probably is going to be a play-in team again, and we'll see what they do in the play-in again and see if they can get out. But just frustrating because, again, they were in position both of these last two games coming out of the All-Star break to win, and they just couldn't find a way to finish down the stretch. Defense was a big problem for the Hawks in quarters 2 through 4 against the Orlando Magic after getting out to a 19-point lead. They just seemed like, again, took their foot off the brake way too early. Magic came storming back, and it was a close game down the stretch until the Magic finished out on an 11-5 run. That was the difference in the ball game. And then last night, you let the Detroit Pistons finish off the game by going on a 9-3 run. You lost by 5. Difference in the ball game. And if you're wondering how much they lost against the Magic, it was 114-108. That's 6 points. An 11-5 run is how many points difference? 6 points difference. That's the difference in the ball game. So, again, these last two runs that you let these teams go on, difference in the ball game. So, Hawks just have to find a way to finish. They're in position to win all of these games. They just can't finish right now. So, I don't know if it's trying to find a way to win and finding the winning formula with this new core of guys, these new guys that you have. I mean, even though it's kind of the same core that you had before the trade deadline as far as who's finishing games, but it's just frustrating because, again, it seems like they're right there and they just can't finish. So, tough couple of games for the Atlanta Hawks these past two games, losing close ones to the Magic and the Pistons. And the Pistons really, again, just had a field day, just kept making shots. And again, some of that's on them just making shots, and also some of that's on the Hawks defense as well. So they got to find a way to shore up that defense. And defense was something we were talking about the Hawks having improved in. That was a category we were talking about they had improved in when it came to like the beginning and midway through the season. And now, and a lot of it does have to do with the Jalen Johnson injury, but now we're talking about the Hawks not being able to really close out games defensively anymore when it seems like they were pretty good at that at the first part of the season. So it was tough, but all the Pistons were in double figures. And again, you had Malik Beasley scoring 24 off the bench and Schroeder getting 16 off the bench. Hawks, they also had they had 5 guys in double figures. Everybody in the starting lineup besides Mohammed Gay got into double figures. And then I told you George Niang had 27 points off the bench as well, with 7 of 14 from 3. He shot 50% from 3 and from the field overall, 10 of 20 from the field. So, again, it was a solid shooting night for the Hawks too, 50% from the field, 46% from 3. But when you let Detroit shoot 59% from the field and 50% from 3, that's where the difference comes from, and that's where the difference is made up. So, again, just a tough night. And, you know, when you talk about rebounding battle was close. It was 32-30 in favor of Detroit when it came to defensive rebounds, but offensive rebounds, the Hawks actually won that battle 10-5. So you know, steals was 9-8, blocks was 5-6, both in favor. Steals was in favor of Detroit, blocks was in favor of the Hawks. So turnovers, Detroit had more than the Hawks, 19-13. So again, just giving up one too many easy looks for the Hawks, and that ended up being the difference in the ball game. So again, tough two nights for the Hawks, but luckily they'll be able to get back on the horse and see if they can bounce back against the Miami Heat tonight. Again, pregame starting at 7 o'clock with tip-off set shortly for after 7:30. Right here on your flagship station for the Atlanta Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we got the bad stuff out of the way early. Let's focus on the good now, shall we? Because Atlanta United, vamos, 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 ATL. They look good in their season opener. They get a W, an exciting W, at home against CF Montreal. And the big signing has already looked to pay off. So far, so good for Latte Love. We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning, coming off a busy local sports weekend here in the ATL, and I hope you all are doing well this morning. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in, already at work or on their way to work. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym, that are tuned in, tapped in right now. I appreciate you as well. Shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now, too. I know you're out there. I appreciate you as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. We're going to talk about Atlanta United here in a couple of minutes, and we're going to relive the fun that was Saturday night as the Five Stripes got their first win of the season and their first game of the season. Home opener, season opener equals a dub for Atlanta United as they took down CF Montreal 3-2. And thanks to Latte Lath and Edwin Mosquera, we got the win. So we'll let you hear from that here in just a couple of minutes. But before we get to Atlanta United, I do want to touch on the Atlanta Braves, because guess what? We got to show the Braves some love, because they're in the midst of spring training now. Two spring training games for the Braves already out the way. And unfortunately, they're 0-2. But there is some good news on the Braves front. Good news is Chris Sale looking like Chris Sale thus far. He was looking sharp in his two innings of work. The reigning NL Cy Young Award winner went two innings on Saturday. Zeros across the board, 21 pitches, 14 strikes, three lineouts, three groundouts, and easy work for Chris Sale. And he really did make it look easy out there. So that was good to see Chris Sale basically picking up where he left off on his Cy Young season and making easy work of the Twins, the Twins he did face on Saturday. And by the way, if you want to know those final scores, Braves lost to the Twins 3-1 on Saturday, lost to the Rays 4-2 yesterday. But again, it's spring training. You're not looking too deep into wins and losses. It really doesn't matter. You really want to look at just individual performances and not necessarily who won, who lost, things of that nature. So, again, that's why I tell you, the good news is Chris Sale looked good in his two innings of work and his six batters faced. Also on Saturday, Bryce Elder pitched two innings. He looked good in his two scoreless innings, only gave up a hit, two strikeouts, zero walks, 19 strikes and 31 pitches, two groundouts and a flyout. So good work there from Bryce Elder as well, who, again, Braves are more than likely going to need, especially while we wait for Spencer Strider to come back towards the beginning of the season, because we don't know exactly when Spencer Strider is going to be ready. We hope maybe late April, early May, somewhere around there. We'll see exactly. But again, it was good to see Bryce Elder put in some good work. Now, there were guys who didn't look so great. One of those guys on Saturday, and we'll get to Sunday here in a couple of minutes, but one of those guys on Saturday was Dylan Dodd. He gave up two runs on three hits, also hit a batter in the sixth inning, and he got a, and that's when the Twins were able to take that lead. Twins just really teed up a lot of balls, scorched a lot of balls against him. Jordan Weems also gave up a run. He allowed a hit and two walks with two strikeouts, so not good outings for Dylan Dodd or Jordan Weems, and you're not really concerned about the Jordan Weems aspect of it, but Dylan Dodd, you're like, we kind of are probably going to have to rely on Dylan a little bit, so need him to clean that up. And look, again, you're not going off. It's no reason to panic or really, really raise any eyebrows yet, but you just like to see guys get off to good starts, and Dylan Dodd did not get off to a good start. So, again, still plenty of time to get going there. You know, no need for panic or anything like that, but just, again, something to keep your eye out on. Also, something you want to keep your eye on is Ian Anderson, as he has been steadily trying to work his way back. Obviously, he was in Gwinnett last year trying to work his way back from injury, and he was back out there for the Braves on Sunday, but he also struggled a little bit. He was out after 1 2/3 innings, walked three batters, including two walks in the second inning, gave up a run, one hit, three walks. So, not great for me and Anderson, but again, still got plenty of time to work things out for spring training. You don't want to overreact to the first spring training start. I'm just delivering the facts, though. And the facts were Ian Anderson struggled a little bit, but his fastball was sitting around between 92, 93 miles per hour, mainly 92. So, again, hopefully maybe you can get that velocity up a little bit, but we'll see. So, also something to keep an eye on is Ian Anderson's fastball velocity, and we'll see what he does when he gets his next bit of work here in spring training. And by the way, the Braves are back at it today against the Baltimore Orioles. 4:05 is the first pitch today. So you got Braves spring training baseball today if you are interested in that. A little bit more on what happened Sunday. Grant Holmes pitched the third and fourth innings on Sunday yesterday. Give up a line drive, two out solo home run. So that wasn't great, but really that was his only mistake. Two innings pitched, gave up two hits. Again, one of those being the home run. The only run he gave up was the home run. Didn't walk anybody, so that's good. Did have a strikeout. And again, gave up the one home run. So not bad from Grant Holmes. But again, you just want to see him sharpen it up. But overall, Chris Sale, obviously, I think what we saw from him, positive. What we saw from Bryce Elder, positive. What we saw from Grant Holmes, positive. And we just want to see, obviously, Dylan Dodd and Ian Anderson, you know, improve upon and do better than what they did in over the weekend, over their weekend's work when it comes to the Atlanta Braves. And just for this, the Braves did have hit a home run in spring training. If I gave you probably 50 guesses without looking, you probably would never guess. It was veteran catcher Sandy Leon hit the Braves' first homer of spring training this year. Again, if I gave you 50 guesses, you probably would have never guessed that. But either way it goes, Braves lose their first two spring training games. Doesn't really matter. What matters is Chris Sale looked good. Grant Holmes looked solid. Bryce Elder looked good. And Ian Anderson, Dylan Dodd struggled a little bit, but they can get back on the horse, and we'll see who does what today. Again, Braves back in action spring training ball. 4:05 first pitch today as they take on the Baltimore Orioles. All right, with that being said, let's move on to the winning team over the weekend, and that was Atlanta United. They get the win 3-2 over CF Montreal, and man, that was such a fun game. It would only be right to relive what happened on Saturday night with the bench packed out, over 65,000 in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That was the third largest soccer event in the world, not just in MLS, in the world. They had the largest attendance in MLS, but they had the third largest attendance in the world, only behind, like, I think it was like Inter Milan or one other team. I forgot the other one. I have to look that up for you. But either way it goes, the point is they brought home numbers. The Five Stripes faithful, they know this team is going to be special. This team is looking good, and the team did not disappoint for them on Saturday night. And Latte Love has not disappointed Five Stripes fans thus far. He got off to a flying start with his new team, making his debut for the Five Stripes. And like I said, he did not disappoint as he got things started off right in the 43rd minute. Well, we all wanted to know what a Latte Loth goal would sound like, called by Mike Conti. Here it is.
Take advantage of your break, Atlanta. It's their sixth corner of the first half coming up here. Saba to send it down to the near corner goal to our left. Here it comes to the back post. Header! Score! Oh, yeah! Welcome to Atlanta, Latte Loth! Train opens the scoring in the 42nd minute.
I love it. Hell yeah. Emmanuel Latte Live kicked the scoring off with a header in the 43rd minute. And man, he got up. He has bunnies for days. He went over everyone, not just the CF Montreal players. He went up over his own players too. Got up, high pointed that ball, and put it in the back of the net. So that was good to see. Unfortunately, Atlanta United would not hold that lead for long. They would give up an equalizer shortly after they would Latte Love scored that goal. But Latte Love said, "Guess what? I'll have another."
Quickly thrown into Maranchuk in the left attacking third. Back to Hernandez, swung to the penalty spot. And a header is loose and stabbed into the net by Latte Lott. It's a double latte. And Atlanta United retakes the lead on a broken play in the 63rd minute.
A double latte for your head top. Emmanuel Latte Lott scoring in the 42nd and 63rd minute to give him a brace in his Atlanta United debut. But the job would not be finished. Atlanta United would give up another equalizer, and it would be tied at two apiece until the 85th minute, and Edwin Mascara, set up by Latte Love, would finish the job.
Pierce with a pass blocked by Edwards. He fires it up to Maranchuk, who dribbles into the Montreal half, pass to Latte Lott. Tap back to Almiron, who sends it ahead to Mascara. Left side of the 18, dribbles into the box, shot! Score! Goal, awesome! As he has done so many times before as a substitute, Edwin Mascara with a rocket into the right upper 90 to beat Sirois and give Atlanta United the lead.
Edwin Mosqueda doing what he does best, coming off the bench and providing some scoring for Atlanta United. Comes off the bench, gives the team some life, and also gives the team the 3-2 lead that would ultimately finish the job. But there was a little bit of excitement towards the end as CF Montreal was trying to give Atlanta United everything they could at the end. Let's hear the final call from Mike Conti.
Squared to Campbell in the center of the park. 10 seconds to play. Campbell swings it back to Pierce on the near side. Pierce will take a touch, dribble towards goal, swing it to the back post. Headed by Hernandez, out to Sanusi Ibrahim, across the penalty spot. Players go down, a turnaround shot off the crossbar. It bounces wide into the near corner, another collision. They call the foul on Montreal. A wild sequence to end the game, and they blow for full time, and Atlanta United holds on for a wild 3-2 season-open victory over Montreal.
Woo! Had the blood pressure raised a little bit at the end, but the home team gets it done. Atlanta United, 3-2 victors in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the home opener and season opener, and they get 3 points to start their season, and that's always how you want to start off. Obviously, they got to fix some of the defensive meltdowns and lapses that they had, but offensively, they look good, and they look good already. And so, good to see Ronnie Dyla and his squad get the win to start things off, and hopefully they can just keep moving it forward. They're back in action Saturday, March 1st, as they take on Charlotte FC in Charlotte. But you already know you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of your Atlanta United. Pre-game with Abe Gordon starting at 1 o'clock. Kickoff, with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore shortly after 2 o'clock, I believe 2:15 official start time. But good to see Atlanta United get the dub. Hopefully Hawks can bounce back tonight, and hopefully the Braves can get a spring training win as well. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we actually got to talk about some Atlanta Falcons football. Is it in the best interest of the Atlanta Falcons to trade a certain someone not named Kirk Cousins? I'll tell you who I'm talking about next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are on their way to work, already at work, tuned in, tapped in. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym, that are tuned in and tapped in. I appreciate you as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app, because guess what? If you're not usually an early riser and you like the show, you're messing with it, you're feeling it, guess what? It doesn't have to be 5 a.m. for you to tune in. You can tune in whenever you want. You can tune in whenever you like. Yeah. You can also listen at 5 p.m. if you want to. You can listen at 7 a.m. maybe when you're getting ready for work, 8 a.m. when you're on your way to work, 10 a.m. once you get settled in at work, or 7 p.m. once you get home from work. You can listen whenever you want. All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app, and you can search 92.9 The Game, find my show, The Hometown Take, or you can do this with any of the shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as well. You can listen to my show in its entirety, any of the other shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in their entirety. All you got to do is download that free Odyssey app on your smartphone and all your smart devices, and you can listen to shows in their entirety. You can listen back to your favorite segments, listen back to interviews. You can do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. All right. We need to talk about the Atlanta Falcons for a little bit here, because as the offseason continues, it is combine week this week. I believe quarterbacks are scheduled to report tomorrow. But what I want to talk about is something that will end up affecting the Falcons draft if they do decide to do this. But this would be something that I think would happen, obviously, before the draft if they do decide to do it. And I'm wondering if the Falcons are better off doing this or not. So Aaron Schatz of ESPN put out an article over the weekend where He is suggesting a bold move for each team to make over the next 2 months. And for the Falcons, what bold move does he have them doing? He has them trading tight end Kyle Pitts. This is what Aaron said in the article about the Falcons potentially trading Kyle Pitts and why he has the Falcons trading Kyle Pitts as his bold move in this piece. He says, quote, Pitts was supposed to revolutionize the tight end position after the Falcons selected him fourth overall in the 2021 draft. It hasn't worked out that way. Pitts caught 47 passes for 602 yards and 4 touchdowns in 2024. He ranked 32nd out of 48 qualifying tight ends in receiving DVOA. After 15.1 yards per reception as a rookie, he hasn't topped 13 yards per reception in any of the past three seasons. Pitts played only 62% of Atlanta's offensive snaps last season, while blocking tight end Charlie Warner played 40%. It's time to move on. Another team probably believes they can tap into Pitts' potential. Even after four NFL seasons, the Falcons have to make their choice. They can pay Pitts $10 million for another possibly mediocre season and hope to get a compensatory pick when he leaves after 2025, or they can trade him and get a pick sooner while getting $10 million off the books. The latter is the better choice. Now, I will say this. The only thing that is making this a tough decision for the Falcons is because you are making yet again another quarterback change. You've had in Pitts's 4 years, you've had four different quarterbacks throwing to him. It's been really five. It's been Matt Ryan his rookie year, Marcus Mariota his second year, mixed in with what, Taylor Heineke? Marcus Mariota mixed in with Desmond Ridder, then Desmond Ridder mixed in with Taylor Heineke, and then Kirk Cousins mixed in with Michael Penix. You've had so many different quarterbacks throwing to Kyle Pitts. And the one season he had continuity when it came to his quarterback for the entire year was Matt Ryan, and that's when he had his best season. Now, I'm not saying those two things are hand in hand. I'm not saying those two things go hand in hand, but that is something to think about. The only reason this is a tougher decision for the Falcons is because do they think having Michael Penix at quarterback can unlock something with Kyle Pitts? Do they think they can still make something happen with Kyle Pitts? Do they think Kyle Pitts can still be that guy they wanted him to be when they drafted him with the fourth overall pick? Do they think they can be that guy? Do they think Pitts can be that guy with Michael Penix at quarterback? He had that nice touchdown catch against Washington at the end of the season, or the second to last game of the season, the penultimate game of the season. Does that do anything for you? For me, not really. I can see it going either way. Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't be upset either way. If they decide to keep Kyle Pitts and just see what he can maybe do with Michael Penix, okay. It's another weapon that the Falcons have that could potentially be of use that could help them make the postseason next year. I wouldn't be mad at it. If they decide to trade him and get a draft pick that could help them this season, wouldn't be mad at that either. So for me, if I'm the Falcons, it seems like he's probably not going to be a Falcon after this season unless he has some major season, unless he just has some another type of season he had his rookie year, maybe with more touchdowns with Michael Penix, and he shows that him and Michael Penix have that connection. Unless that happens, and we have no reason at all to believe that's going to happen, he's probably going to be gone after this year. With that being said, why not trade him? And you could probably get a better draft pick for him than a compensatory pick, because a team is going to be able to have him under contract for only $10 million for this upcoming season. And if they want it, they could have him as a rental. And if he doesn't work out with that team, they can let him walk. So it's kind of a, they could have Pitts on a 1-year prove it deal. And that might be very attractive to some contending teams. That may be attractive to a Commanders or maybe a Lions or maybe a Vikings. I don't know. Maybe a Jets. I have no clue. But that could be an attractive maybe type of offer and deal for a contending team. Hey, let's get this young tight end. We feel like we can unlock him. Let's get him on a one-year prove-it deal, $10 million. If he does great, we can sign him. If not, we can let him walk and let another team try to figure Kyle Pitts out. I could see that being attractive to some other teams. Again, especially a competitive team that, you know, feels like they just need a piece or another offensive weapon to maybe put them over the top. So my heart as a Falcons fan, honestly, I would like to see Kyle Pitts do well here in Atlanta. I would like to see Michael Penix get the most out of Kyle Pitts, and I would like to see him work out here in Atlanta. However, my head, my brain is telling me, just go ahead and trade him. He's probably not going to work out here in Atlanta. He's probably going to end up leaving after this upcoming season anyway. You probably can get a little bit better of a pick if you trade him now. Just go ahead and trade him. That's what my head is saying. My heart is saying, I want to see if he can work out. I want to give him one more chance. But the head is saying, nah. You know what's going to happen. He's going to have another mediocre year. And the Falcons and Kyle Pitts will go their separate ways after this upcoming season. So we'll see if the Falcons end up trading Kyle Pitts to get an extra draft pick, because we do know the Falcons are low on draft picks. So, look, anything at this point can help. An extra, a fifth rounder, a fourth rounder. I don't know if they get a third rounder for Kyle Pitts, but that would obviously help as well because you don't have a third round pick this year. So we'll see what they end up doing. But at this point, I think the Falcons would be better off trading Kyle Pitts rather than keeping him and see what he does. Because it seems like he just doesn't fit this offense. Like, Zach Robinson had Drake London running the routes Kyle Pitts was supposed to be running. And Drake London was doing just a fine job at it. He was doing very well at being in that slot spot. And I don't see why you wouldn't have him back there again. It seems like that ship has sailed here in Atlanta. It seems like they don't necessarily have that much confidence anymore. I mean, again, when you look at the snap percentage, 62% to 40%, I mean, you and Charlie Warner, as far as snaps, should not be that close. And I know that Charlie Warner is a blocking tight end, and this team likes to run the ball a lot, but still, that's awful close when you talk about the type of snaps Charlie Warner was getting and the type of snaps Kyle Pitts was getting. They're just not good. So we'll see what happens, but it will be very interesting to see what the Falcons decide to do, because they do have that decision to make, and we'll see what ends up happening. Real quick, some small headlines here as we have just a couple of minutes left here on the Hometown Take, a Monday edition of the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Christopher Bell wins the Ambetter Health 400, another exciting race. Had a wreck right there at the end. Christopher Bell got ahead of the pack as they were resetting, and Christopher Bell wins the Ambetter Health 400. Bring that up because Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan, who you're here from, along with Mark Zeno, he's in for Tiffany, who's out on assignment. They were out at Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend, did the show live from Atlanta Motor Speedway on Friday and Saturday. They actually did the show from the top of their trailer on Saturday. That was a nice view if you got to see that on social media. It is on the Morning Shift account at 929 Morning Shift, and it's on their personal social media pages as well at MPJohnson76 and at SquidBilly929 if you want to check that out. But Christopher Bell wins the Ambetter Health 400, so good for him. Exciting race there again at the end as Atlanta Motor Speedway continues to prove it's one of the more exciting, probably the most exciting track right now in all of NASCAR. And then also to a quick combine update for you. As I told you earlier in the show, the combine gets started this week. Shedeur Sanders not going to work out at the combine. I don't think it's a big deal. Look, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Drake May all did not work out at the combine last year, and they all turned out to be just fine. And they all seem to be the quarterback, the franchise quarterbacks that their team wants. So, yeah, Caleb Williams obviously was a little shaky. Drake May was pretty good. We obviously know Jaden Daniels won Rookie of the Year. So, working out of the combine, not that big of a deal. He's going to throw it his pro day. All the teams will be at that as well. It just seems like, again, these quarterbacks are more comfortable in their own setting, being at their own facility, throwing to their own receivers that they've picked out. So I think this obviously has become a trend, and I think it'll continue to be a trend, but it's not a big deal that he's not going to throw at the combine or work out of the combine. Seems like the reports say that he's still going to meet with teams, and it's yet to be seen whether he's still going to do like the tests and, you know, the medicals and all that. So he'll probably still do the medicals and the tests and still meet with teams. But as far as him not working out the combine, not a big deal. So a quick combine update for you. As the combine does get kicked off underway, we will keep you up to date on that as we move throughout the week as well. But my time is up. I appreciate y'all tuning in to the Hometown Take this morning. I'll be back tomorrow, 5 a.m. sharp on a Tuesday to chop it up with you about all things Atlanta sports. We'll see if the Hawks can get back on the winning side of things against the Miami Heat. We'll see if the Braves got their first spring training win, and we'll continue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. That's coming up tomorrow, but coming up next, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Mark Zeno on a Monday edition of the Morning Shift, coming up right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.